Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
You have to keep knocking on the doors. And so that's my encouragement to all of us. Because you may be frustrated right now. You're like, man, I've been banging on this door for years. Move on to another door. My goodness. If your knuckles are bleeding because you keep knocking on the same door, maybe you need to take a step back and say, like, what other doors are there? Because it may not be for you. That might not be for you. And the Lord's over here at door number three thinking, like, hey, you want this one?
We're all really good at making plans. You get a great idea and you try to get it to work out. But what happens when it doesn't work? When the door you thought you'd go through stays shut? Well, in today's message, Pastor James encourages you to keep trying other doors. When you get a clear no, move on to the next thing. He'll share that, like with Paul, God may have other plans for you, something different than what you expected. Eventually, God will show you the next steps as you keep trying the other doors. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts, chapter 16, with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some bread to the broken. We need hope for the hopeless. Give some hope to the hopeless, hopeless. Bread for the broken, broken.
See, your plan is not as important as his plan. Because you lack so much critical information concerning the big picture. We would really do well if we took a step back and said, Lord, I trust you. I think I'm just going to trust you on this one. I've been trying. I've been praying. Lord, I know you. I got this desire, this burden on my heart. I've been praying for this, and nothing is happening. Maybe sometimes the Lord's like, yeah, because I don't want it to happen right now. Or maybe I do want it to happen, but I just don't want to use you to do it. And we're like, oh, offended, right? Like, you don't want to use me? Yeah, I don't want to use you. I'd rather use somebody else if that's okay with you. Remember, I'm God and I can do what I want and I will use who I want. Sometimes you're equipped and suited to handle these situations, and this person over here who is just as gifted and full of the Holy Spirit as you are, even though you may not recognize it, but they are, God's like, yeah, I have planned to use them over there the whole time. What we need to do is just come to this mission that God has called us on, which is complete submissiveness and saying, Lord, I don't know where it is you want me to go. I'm not sure where it is, you know, or what that even looks like. But I'm just going to ask that you illuminate just each step along the journey. We want the whole path lit up. That's not how it works sometimes. Some of you may have that. You may have absolute clarity of like, no, this is what God he's put me on this path, and man, I can see the finish line. Awesome. Awesome. I think for most of us, we're just waiting on that next step to be illuminated. Like, Lord, I don't want to take a step yet because I want to make sure I take the right step. And he'll direct you. He'll guide and direct each and every step. The Lord's not, he doesn't close doors because he's mean or doesn't care about you. He actually closes doors because he does care about you. He's going to move Paul in a certain direction because, see, Paul's mission was to go here, but God's mission was for Paul to go here. You may experience that within your life. I have, certainly. When I was working at the church in Amarillo as a youth pastor, you know, after a certain amount of time, you're kind of like, I think my time's running out as a youth pastor, right? Like, I mean, I'm 15 years into this deal, you know, basically. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that window is closing on me, and, you know, not for any other reason other than I just don't think this is what the Lord has. So, Lord, where do you want me to go next? Well, what you don't do is just sit around on your behind, just waiting for him to, like, pick you up and move you. It does take you approaching doors and knocking on doors, okay? There has to be some sort of active activity within your life of just, like, you got to be in motion. You have to be moving. You have to be. Now, you might hit the wrong door. That's okay. It's not like one strike and you're out. It's not even three strikes and you're out. With the Lord, it's like, go to this door, knock on that door. If that door doesn't open, okay, guess what? Don't quit. Move on to another door. So for us, it was like, okay, well, what do? We'll start a college Bible study in the little bitty town that had a Division II university where I was at, because that made sense, and we had college kids that were asking for it. So we started a college Bible study with the thought of like, well, this thing will turn into a church, and we'll just plant a church right here. We did the college Bible study. It was cool. It was sweet, but the Lord's like, this isn't what I have for you. I mean, it's good. You're doing all this stuff, but this is not it for you. Okay, then Lord, well, then what is? Well, just keep knocking. Go to another door. And so there's just different, you know, and you just got to keep going. You just have to keep knocking, because had we, my family and I, stopped knocking, will we be in misery right now? Maybe still employed at Grace Church up in Amarillo, but how effective can you be when you know that the Lord has called you on to something else, but yet you weren't willing to knock on any doors to figure out maybe where that was at? So I could have easily settled back in. I had a nice job. I mean, I had salary there. I had healthcare was taken care of for me and my kids. And I mean, it was good. It was really good. And I have no complaints there at all. None at all. But if that's not where the Lord wants me, ultimately there's going to be frustration. It's going to lead to misery. And then it's just going to lead to, you know, ineffectiveness within the ministry. So you have to keep knocking on the doors. And so that's my encouragement to all of us. Because you may be frustrated right now. You're like, man, I've been banging on this door for years. Move on to another door. My goodness. If your knuckles are bleeding because you keep knocking on the same door, maybe you need to take a step back and say, like, what other doors are there? Because it may not be for you. That might not be for you. And the Lord's over here at door number three thinking like, hey, you want this one? No, quit knocking on that door. Get over here. And sometimes it takes a door number two before you get to door number three. That's where this missionary team is at. They were knocking on the door, and the Holy Spirit straight up told them, no, no. Okay, so we move on. You didn't get it right the first time. Cool. It's okay. It's okay. That's the other thing. I've taught this before, and I actually remember listening to a teaching done by Britt Merrick on this, and man, that word I heard from him was just so freeing for me. Because as a perfectionist, it really is a, you know, I'm trying to hit a pinpoint on a target, you know, called in the will of God kind of thing. That's how I've lived my life, most of my Christian life. I'm aiming for one microscopic pinpoint. Like, that's the will of God. I got to hit that thing perfectly. And if I don't, I've messed up. I've blown it, you know, and I don't even know how effective I am for God. He certainly doesn't want to use me because I can't even get this thing right. And, you know, through this teaching, the Lord really spoke to my heart about this. And Britt Merrick was used by God to communicate that to me of like, us in the church world, we have this notion that, like, let's say the crab trees go out to Africa. Let's say within a year they come back from Africa because it didn't work out. Do we as a church body ridicule them because it didn't work out? Because maybe they got it wrong? No. What do? You come alongside them and say, okay, so maybe that wasn't it. We sometimes do that where people will go out and they're like, man, I feel like the Lord's calling me to go do this thing. And then they go out and they come back and they have failed miserably. Well, we don't cast them off to the side thinking like, well, they can't even hear the Lord. So we're definitely not going to trust these guys when the next time comes around. No, it's like we come around them saying like, okay, so that wasn't it. Door one was closed. Well, what's door number two? Let's knock on that one. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. And let's encourage each other to keep on going so that way we're not walking around as with this defeated mentality of like, so what? You got it wrong. So what? Life still goes on. The mission is still going. Find the right door. Find the right door. Here's where they're at. The Holy Spirit says, nope, not going to Asia. All right. So after they come to Mysia, they try to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So you got door number one. No. Okay, cool. Well, then let's just kind of work our way. We're not really going to go too much away from it. We still want to get into Asia, but we'll just go over here a little bit. And so that's what they did. They went over to here just a little bit, and they knocked on that door, and the Spirit says, no, no. Okay. Rather than getting discouraged, they just keep on going. They just keep on going. So it says, passing by Mysia, or however you say that one. I'm really great at Bible places and names. As you have picked up throughout the years and maybe listening to me, you're like, this guy can't pronounce anything. I cannot. Yeah, but I do my best, but, you know, Mysia, that's how I think it's pronounced, and I'm going to go with it. So it says they came down from Troas. It says, and a vision. All right, so let me just geographically, this is important, okay? So Troas is a coastal city. Like, now you are like, there's nowhere for you to go, where there's like no other direction for you to go, because you know everything on this side is a no, and there's really only one other place. So it's almost as if God was pushing them into like, not really a corner, but kind of like, he's like, no, I'm going to get you where I need you to be, because there is a place where I do want you to go, but I'm going to work you down to Troas, basically. I'm going to work you to the coast so that I can have you perfectly situated for the next step. And it's the coast. Who doesn't mind being on the coast? I mean, come on, like, any coast. I'll take any coast. Like, it's water, right? Like, take that. If I'm getting it wrong, sweet. You end up on the coast, it's like, well, we might as well enjoy this, right? So that's where they were at. And a vision, verse 9, appeared to Paul in the night. So was this a dream? Was it a vision? What is the deal here? I don't know. It doesn't say he was sleeping. It doesn't say he was sleeping. So this isn't like, you know, Taco Bell too late at night kind of a deal, right? Like, what was that? What happened? This is a vision, a clear cut, like Paul is being communicated to by the Lord by way of a vision. The Lord has spoken to the church and guided and directed the church in many different ways up until this point in the book of Acts. Sometimes it's through a word. Sometimes it's through a vision. There's various ways that the Lord uses to speak to us. And sometimes it's a dream. Sometimes it is a dream. But the Lord has his own ways of getting a hold of you and getting your attention. For the Apostle Paul, on this journey, here's this vision, and it's at nighttime. That makes it even more spookier, right? Right? You're like, it's the coast, it's nighttime, you're like, and now this vision happens. Put yourself in his shoes. How would you feel, right? Like, how would you? We think of it as like this cool experience and all this stuff. It's like, well, maybe it wasn't all that cool. I don't know, but Paul's like pitch black night, and all of a sudden he sees this tremendous vision. It says a man of Macedonia. That's technically in Europe, okay? And they could see that from where they were at. You know, you're just looking over the water, and you can see this region just right over there. A man of Macedonia pleading with him, begging with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. No, no. And then God gets Paul right here, and then it still takes a vision to communicate to Paul where God wants him to go. Because they're like hemmed in. They're like, where are we going to go next, Paul? And Paul's like, I don't know. We've run out of options. And then God's like, all right. So here's this man in Macedonia. We don't even know if this is a real guy. I don't even know if we ever really know about this guy. Because you'll read Philippians, you'll read the rest of this chapter, and this guy never shows up. But he's like, hey, why don't you come over here? I've been watching you strike out. Like, we need help. We need the gospel. What about the gospel for Europe? What about coming over here? And sometimes that's what it takes. So you got no, you got a no, but you keep going. That's how you handle the no's of God, is that you keep going. And then you end up with some dude begging and pleading, or some representative of some region saying, can you please bring what you have to us? Because we want the good news too. We'd like to know about Jesus. Can you bring it to us? Because we're willing. We're ready. We're begging. And sometimes it takes a vision in the middle of the night to bring clarity. Verse 10, it says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. So the light came on for Paul, where he's like, guys, I think I got the answer. Like, Silas and Timothy are like, I don't know about this Paul guy, man. Like, he's been, you know, we went here, and that wasn't working out, and he's got this little eye thing going on, and we went here, and that didn't work out, and now we're stuck on the coast, and Paul's like, no, I got it. We're supposed to go right over there. We're supposed to go into Europe. There's people that are over there that are begging and pleading for the gospel of Jesus. See what happens when you don't give up? You see what happens when you don't quit on Jesus? Clarity comes. I'll promise you this. Clarity comes. It just comes in his timing. Okay? So you can't quit on him. I'm telling you right now, you can't quit on Jesus. You cannot quit on him. Clarity, for whatever that thing is that you've been praying about, I don't know how he's going to answer it. That's my only thing. I don't know how he's going to answer whatever that thing is, but I know this, you cannot quit on him. You cannot. You do not have the right to quit on him. He died for you. You don't have the right to quit on him. You don't. You follow him. And when he says no, you go to the next door and you knock on that door. And when he says no, you go to the next door and you knock on that door. You never stop following Jesus. You never stop praying. You never stop seeking, asking, knocking. You never quit. Welcome to the rest of your life as a Christian. Who told you it was going to be easy? Who lied to you? Who told you it was only knock once, seek once, ask once? Who lied to you? Because that's not what the Bible says. It was Jesus himself to his disciples says, you keep on knocking, you keep on asking, you keep on seeking. You remain, what, persistent in your relationship and your walk with Jesus. You don't get to shift into neutral and go into cruise control. You keep pressing on. You keep pressing on. You don't believe me? Consult the Apostle Paul. And we will. We're going to jump into the book of Philippians, where Paul says, you keep pressing on. Philippians was not his first pick. That region and those churches that got planted as a result of this was not his first choice. But he kept pressing on. He never gave up. Did he want to give up? Yes. That's the beauty of the word. You read in Paul, in many of Paul's letters, and he talks about the despair. He talks about those dark nights. He talks about this thing of like, I don't even know if I want to live anymore. That's a guy who knows what it's like to be a human being on this planet. That's a guy who knows what discouragement feels like. But what does he ultimately say? You run your race. You run your race with endurance. Meaning this, you just keep going. Keep going. And then you may end up in Philippi, hanging out with a bunch of people that they can't even start a church. Like, they can't even start a church. He goes to this place, like, they don't even have enough people to technically even start a synagogue. Now, they have the people, but they don't have the right people, if you know what I'm saying. They don't got like 10 Jewish men. Maybe they do, but those guys don't have their act together, and they're not starting any synagogues. This city is all messed up, and it's perfect for the gospel. Absolutely perfect for the gospel. This guy's begging, come over to us, help us out after seeing a vision. Immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding, here's the no-duh statement of this whole thing, all right? Concluding, we figured that's the Lord was telling us to go. Yeah, of course he was. You know he was. They, like, Paul shares the vision. They're all like, you know what? I think God might be telling us to go to Macedonia. Paul's like, duh. Like, yeah. He told us no here, and he told us no here because he wanted us to go here. Sometimes God says no in your life. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason. There's a reason. We got to get really good at just trusting him. And saying, Lord, I don't know why you're telling me no. I don't see the big picture. But I just got to trust you in this thing. I need to trust you. And it's hard for us. It really is hard for us. But I just need to trust you that you know what's best. And you are working me in a position to get me to where you want me to be. Just so we know that, I mean, they concluded that the Lord had called them to do what? To preach the gospel to Philippi. This was not the end point for Paul. Philippi was not the last destination. Thessalonica was not the last destination. This was just another stop along the journey for the Apostle Paul. So sometimes the Lord is kind of saying, closing doors here, closing doors there, because he wants you to go here. But sometimes even here is just temporary. The thing we, like I said repeatedly, the thing we need to know is this. You can trust the Lord. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. When he's not answering you in your prayers, keep on praying. Not every answer from God is a yes. It's just not. It's not. We were talking about that a little bit before. I know there's some teaching that's out there that every prayer is answered in the affirmative. That's not true. That's not true. God doesn't always give you everything that you ask for. He doesn't. And I don't care how much faith you have. I don't care how much faith you have. He doesn't always answer yes. Sometimes the answer is no. The most frustrating thing about all of it is that it seems like most of the time he says, just wait. Right? You're like, no, I hate that answer. That's no. I don't want that one. Give me a yes or give me a no. And it seems that most of the time in my prayer life, the Lord's like, just hold on a second. Just wait. I'm like, no, I don't function that way, Lord. You know I don't handle that well. And he's like, I know, that's why I probably keep answering that way. Because, you know, you need work, you know? So the Lord just, he knows us so well. Better than you know yourself, the Lord knows. And he's got you on this mission. And so I'm encouraging you to just trust him each and every step of the way. Each and every step of the way. Don't stop following him because he tells you no, right? You're not a spoiled brat, all right? Christianity doesn't need any more spoiled brats, okay? If you don't get your own way, suck it up and move on. That's the deal. He says no, deal with it. Move on to the next thing. You want his yes, but you want that to equate to ending up where he wants you, when he wants you there, for as long as he wants you there. That's what you want. That's the goal. So you keep on pressing, you keep on knocking, you keep on seeking, you keep on asking. He told you to do that, all right? He's not going to get annoyed with you. Okay, don't think that God's like, rolling his eyes in heaven, being like, why don't they quit asking me this question? He said to keep coming to him. So keep going to him until you get that clarity that you need. And then be brave enough, if you get a no, to move on to the next door. Be brave enough. Go for it.
Hope, the hopeless, hopeless, ready for the broken.
That's all we have time for today on Bread for the Broken. We're so glad that you joined us as Pastor James Grizzle teaches through the book of Acts. If you'd like to hear today's teaching again or listen to more verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor James, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. While you're visiting breadforthebroken.com, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind the ministry of Bread for the Broken. At Calvary Galveston, we strive to love and live as Jesus did. We're just ordinary people discovering extraordinary truths from the Bible together. As we continue to journey through the book of Acts, our prayer is that your faith is inspired to move. That when you read about the early church, you rediscover the purpose that God has for your life. You might think you're just ordinary, but God sees you deeper, and he knows that you're more than that. Being obedient to the calling that God has on your life might not always make sense, but God blesses those who are faithful to answer his call. And you never know what incredible things God has in store when you freely say, "Yes, Lord." If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you come visit. Or if you're looking for a new church home, you're always welcome. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to start the week out right with worship. Our atmosphere is pretty relaxed, so feel free to come just as you are. Find out more and plan your visit by going to our website, breadforthebroken.com. As you go throughout the rest of your day, may you find hope and new life in Jesus.
Let me paint the picture of you.